In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan. Boy, you have the best accuracy with that torpedo.
We'd like to see that puppy, that beagle, go down with Darwin's ship.
I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of creation and evolution. Lighthearted because we know no better way. It's a lot of fun doing it that way, too.
And it's a fun topic because there's a lot of funny things out there on both sides of the fence. We do believe in a high view of Scripture and a high view of science.
And we think that those, when read correctly, Stan, can agree with each other.
When they are read correctly. Last time that we got together for Sink the Beagle, we talked about different views of how we got here, different views of origins, whether it was a strictly biblical, literal, 6,000 years ago one, all the way down to Charles Darwin's materialistic evolution.
Or Martians from space.
Martians from space. A little deposit of...
A vial of germs.
Of germs. Leave it on the earth and let's cut out of here.
And then they cook it.
And then they evolved into you and me today, John. Now, that is a view of famous people like Francis Crick and these...
Watson and others.
Yes, exactly, who've won Nobel Prizes in genetics. But most of the views we presented, John, came from at least a partly Christian perspective, deism, theistic evolution, progressive creationism, gap theories, and literal biblical creation. All of them are trying to put together the Bible and science, these different sources of information, and trying to weight them to figure out, to get the right picture of where we came from.
And which information should we trust more on which topic or on where does the evidence fall? And that really, it comes down to a bigger question, because we attended just not too long ago a conference held by a large group of Christians who did not all see things eye to eye when it came to origins. And really the bottom line comes down to, how do we see things? How do we look at things? What we call our paradigm or big picture kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Or even a more fancy word, hermeneutics.
Herman. Who's this hermeneutics we hear about?
Hermeneutics. Utick.
Hermeneutics is simply the study or the field of interpreting Scripture.
Yeah, the principles.
How do you interpret it?
What are the principles for which we gather or understand Scripture? It's really, when you really boils down to it at our conference, we discovered that it really boiled down to that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation, inspiration. Is the text inspired? How should we read it?
How is it inspired?
And what does the author mean when he wrote, in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth? Something like that.
If you're going to go away from a literal reading of Scripture, you're going to have to come up with some idea of either it's because it's more man than God, therefore full of some errors in it, or even if it is not man, leaning heavily in it, it's more God. Maybe God is using symbol and, you know, imagery and so forth to make a greater point, but not worried about literalness.
Yeah, and so the question actually was a question that Jesus himself had raised when being questions about how we can have eternal life. He told, you have the text there, it's in Luke chapter 10, as he talked to this lawyer and asked two very key questions for our Sink the Beagle today. What are those questions?
Those questions, and this will be our first of a couple of torpedo texts today. This is Luke 10:26, and he said to him, that is Jesus said to the lawyer, what is written in the law? How does it read to you?
In other words, there's two questions he's asking. Where are you getting your information? Mm-hmm. Have you checked the manual?
Have you checked the manual?
How many guys like checking the manual for the VCR to figure out how to program their football game into tape it?
The most unread book in history is a manual for VCRs.
That's why we've gone to DVD technology.
These inch-thick things, who wants to read them? Yeah, but, you know, when we were going through at this conference, John, that you're referencing, where there were theologians and scientists all wrestling around with this, all with a Christian perspective, You know, I kind of jokingly thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if God had simply written it down so we could reference it, some kind of manual, some kind of record.
And here it was.
Oh, isn't there this Bible thing here, I think? What do you do with this?
And really it boiled down to, what does the Bible say in Genesis, primarily 1 to 11, but especially when it comes to creation and the origin of life? You have basically chapters 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to understanding our physical world today, one of the major stories, or one of the major reasons, according to the manual, is chapters 6 through 9, the flood of Noah.
Well, now, when you look at, in particular, the Genesis account, and let's talk about Jesus' first question, what does the Scripture
what
say?
What does the law say? Law might be Torah.
The Torah, what does Moses say, basically? And, of course, that's certainly Genesis. What does Genesis say? Even the most critical of the literal understanding of Genesis, even the most critical critics of Genesis,
a biblical authenticity or authority,
will admit, and this came out in this conference we attended, will admit that the author, whoever the author was, we think Moses, but whoever the author or authors were of Genesis, they were writing it with an attempt to make people understand these things actually happened.
It was an historical event that occurred in history where God did this in time.
Yeah, and
created time.
You know, and we have referenced on Sync the Beagle before the Hebrew word yom, and the using of the evening and the morning, where the first day, evening and morning, second day, or day two, and so forth. And this using of a number with yom, day one, day two, and also the evening and morning reference. It's literally a Hebrew construct that
for 24 hours
that there's virtually no other way to read it. I mean, there's literally no other way to read it.
And therefore, we dismiss those day-age theories in the long time that each day represents 1,000 years.
First of all, we're going to start off with, this is what the author meant.
And this is what the author said.
But how do you read it?
And that's where Jesus got into, asked the question of hermeneutics. In other words, we can all have the same book in front of us, read the exact same word, and come up with two different viewpoints of what it says. Mm-hmm. And that's called interpretation. And hermeneutics
all about interpretation.
And what are you going to allow as what we would call authority in your interpretation, or how you would read it? And what the farther you get away from the scriptures, when you get into the theistic kind of side of it, you get to people who want to say, I know the Bible says this, but the scientific evidence says this, or at least to seem to say it. And by the way, the same question Jesus asked of the scriptures, you can ask of the fossil. Mm-hmm. What saith the fossil record?
What's the data?
What's the data say?
And
the
what's data... your interpretation?
Ah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Where are you going with that data?
Yeah, exactly.
In other words, did the bone in the geologic layer, did it get there slowly buried over millions of years and fossilized, or was it buried in a big gully washer called the flood?
Flood, which is hard for evolutionists to pronounce. But, so this is an interpretation issue. What does the data say, and how do you interpret it? And Jesus makes kind of hints at saying, well, you have the one. You have what it says, but how you read it is probably the critical
issue.
There's
a disconnect there. There's something about the way you read and how you understand the issue that's impacting how you what you think the text or what God means by this when he says this. And that question was a very important question. How do you have eternal life? And Jesus, that was a very important question. In this case, we're asking a little less important questions, but related to it is, how did life begin, or how do we come to exist?
What does the law, or what does the scripture say, and how do you read it? Now, all of this has a lot to do with hermeneutics, again, as we said, John. And hermeneutics, the interpretation of scripture, and really what we're talking about is, what do you do with the Bible? Not so much the scientific part of this, because a lot of people just simply assume science is correct. I mean, how can they be? I mean, the data is there. We disagree with that.
They make Pop-Tarts.
They make Pop-Tarts and CDs. How can they be wrong? How can science be wrong? But you and I would say interpretation is every bit as important and critical in science as it is in the study of Scripture. But back to Scripture, let's take a look at another torpedo text, John, that has a very high view of Scripture, and this is found in, of course, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And how much? How
all
much?
Of it. It doesn't oh. say, you know, and so you can't, like, pick and choose.
It doesn't say Genesis 12 and on.
is inspired, and you can trust
not
that.
Genesis 1 through 11.
I know. It gets, you know, when we attended this conference, Dan, there were people who wanted to, what they call literary critics, mm-hmm. who take contemporary understandings of literary material and say that, well, this is actually really not, it's meant to be poetic, it's meant to do all that. And what they're trying to say is it's not historical, folks. It did yeah. not happen in history.
Right.
First of all, it's kind of a weird way of looking at it. Why can't it be both literarily accurate as well as historically accurate?
Right.
Is God big enough to have inspire a man to do both yeah. in his writing?
Yeah, there was some joking going on about, well, some of this is written in prose. You know, the structure has to do with kind of a literary structure. So how could it be literal if it were literary?
It's like singing the Star Spangled Banner. It was written to music, and we sing yeah. it for our national anthem.
But of course,
the guy saw
Francis
over
in Scott Key
never
see
anything happen that night.
He
just kind of
didn't see any flag.
No,
anything.
He didn't see a flag still standing there.
He just
and, you know,
thought it would be cool
if it was,
fit.
If it fit. Yeah.
So it says all Scripture is inspired by God, and that literally is in the Greek. It says all Scripture is God breathed.
Now, there's a difference. Some people want to argue, well, what did God do? There is a school of thought that God literally takes these prophets who he inspired, who we mentioned mm-hmm. last week, and dips their head in the inkwell and begins to write every little word, and every it, the, and but has to be directly from God. Mm-hmm. We tend to take a view of Scripture that God inspired the person.
The thoughts.
The thoughts. And the person then, in their language of the day, wrote down and tried to find the words guided by the Holy Spirit to best communicate
yeah.
those thoughts.
That's why Paul, the Apostle Paul, chose 50-cent theological words because that was his language. He chose them and he knew how to use them. And that's why John, who used Koine Greek, a very common street Greek in his writing, mm-hmm. Tended to not have a lot of 50-cent words. And so his personality, his choice of words does come through, and so does Paul's. That there is that human element in Scripture. But there's agreement, there's agreement throughout and a cohesiveness throughout the whole Bible.
That shows there's a common author.
There's a common
behind
source.
It all.
Yes.
And that is God. And so the issue comes down to how high is your view of Scripture
right.
versus how low.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is man-inspired or man-written mm-hmm. versus God-inspired and God-breathed.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who tend to have a higher view of Scripture and the ability and power of this awesome God like to stick close to the text and let it tell us what it says and what are the intentions of its author and let them stand or fall on the basis of what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Moses said, God spoke and it came to be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that God's voice is powerful to speak into existence matter and things of that kind of
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, speaking of matter, I think it matters to God that we have an accurate historical reading of what took place for us to get here. I think it was in God's good interest and his sense that we would like to know some historically true things. That's why he inspired Moses to mm-hmm. write it down, a rather accurate portrayal.
But the opposite is that if God didn't do it, then what happens is you can't start trusting the document as much.
That's right.
And
where
pretty
do you
soon,
stop?
And where does that, when you enter critical doubt because of human pride,
mm-hmm.
see, in the end, the other way is that I must determine what is true. If I can't let the Bible speak for itself, I'm the author of truth, and therefore I'm my own God.
That's right.
And so in the end, we're trying to hold up a view here at St. The Beagle that we believe that let's let God be God. Let's take Jesus' word to heart and not only know what the law says, but how we need to be reading it.
And that all Scripture is truly inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, yeah, even for correction.
Correction. And so if you who are theistically evolutionarily inclined, think yourself as corrected today. And have a wonderful day and come and listen to another episode of
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.